If you have a copy of God's Word, and I hope you do, if you got a copy of God's Word, we're going to be at the very end of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll start tonight in verse 35. So those of you that have been with us since the beginning of this series, you are almost four whole chapters through the book of Mark. We've been taking it just a passage at a time, going verse by verse and seeing what God has for us each week. As a reminder, everything that we do is on Spotify or Apple or whatever you listen to podcasts on. So if you're busy this summer, like many of us are, you can go back and listen to them. So it's a great way to connect. Even if you're not here, it's a great way to send things to people. You can give them a little like teaser. Hey, this is what goes on a Tuesday night. Listen to this. Why don't you come and join us live? If you didn't notice, Jamie and Job were up here leading in worship. They did such a great job. Y'all say thank you one more time for them. Because a lot of our usual crew is at camp this week. We actually have a picture that they sent today. Y'all say, aw. That is pretty blurry. I think whoever took it was shaking. It looked great on my phone. But so those people that you probably see every week and so many more of them are serving this week at our student camp. And there are a lot of people at our kids camp as well, just loving on the next generation, pouring into younger men and women, younger believers, so that they can look more like Jesus. And that is awesome. So be praying for them. If you know anybody that's in that picture or anybody that's at one of those camps, send them a text and just say, love you, praying for you. You're doing a great job. When they come home, buy them a coffee or something, okay? Because they're going to need it. They've been with kids all week, but they are doing a great job. Just to give you a little bit of context tonight on what we're going to get into, the title of our sermon, the title of the message tonight is When Storms Come. When Storms Come. Did you notice it doesn't say if? Y'all are from Houston. Y'all know how this goes, right? What happened almost exactly a year ago, right? A storm came and it got all of us. Maybe some worse than others, but storms come. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, thank you, thank you. We'll have a little bit of group participation tonight. But the title of the message is When Storms Come. It's going to start in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. Just some context here. Jesus has been doing ministry. I mean, he is right off the heels of healing and teaching and healing and teaching. And if you remember the last few weeks, he's been teaching a lot. You remember the parables? He's using earthly stories, illustrations that you and I would understand to give us a spiritual understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, so that we can kind of get it. If you're like me, I remember things better when there's a story involved, right? I always go back to like the movies that I watched as a kid, and you like can tell the whole story, and you're like, oh wait, there was actually a deeper meaning behind that. You like me, it took me about 15 years to figure out what like Lion King was all about, right? So there's stories that Jesus tells so that people understand some spiritual significance. He says over and over again, if you have ears, let them hear. Listen to what he has to say, because what he has to say can change your life. And so he's been doing this, and he's like, man, he's kind of tired. And what we see tonight is such a beautiful illustration of the fact that Jesus was fully God, but he was fully man as well. And so his physical earthly body, man, he is tired. And he's like, hey, let's go catch a break. Let's kind of go get away from everybody and everything for a little bit. Let me recoup and we'll continue with our ministry. So let's start at verse 35 and we'll see how far he gets before the break is over, okay? If you haven't looked at it yet, the title probably in your Bible is Jesus Calms a Storm. So spoiler alert, he doesn't get very far. Verse 35, on that day when evening had come, after he's been teaching and teaching and teaching, he said to them, the people that were he was closest to, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. So we made it 2.5 verses. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Look at verse 38. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is what Jesus did on the day that he was going to take off, that he was going to relax. I almost titled the message, "What Are You Afraid Of?" But I thought it was maybe a little bit more applicable for us all when the storms come. Let's walk through this text and see what we can learn as believers. As is our custom, we're just going to take it a few verses at a time. We've read the whole passage, but what we're going to do now is just a couple of verses at a time and see how we can draw out better understanding and application for our lives. And so what I want you to do right now is close your eyes and bow your head and just put your hands out like this. Just palms facing up, and I'm going to pray that God would put something on your heart tonight. Put something on your mind, that God would change who you are because of his word. And I'm going to pray that you would be receptive to that. Jesus, we love you. And God, we give you tonight. God, I know a lot of people came in here at 100 miles an hour with a crazy week, with a lot on their mind. And so God, I pray right now that you would just still their hearts. God, that you would calm their minds. God, that you would soften their hearts. God, that you would open their ears. And God, that we all would be receptive to what you have for us. God, that we wouldn't miss what your word says, and that we wouldn't miss how our lives can better reflect who you are. So God, be with us in this time. We give it to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you're a note taker, and I hope you are, write this down. Storms will come. Storms will come. That's our first point of application. If you look at 35 through 37, verses 35 through 37, it says, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.'" He'd been kind of teaching in a low point on the water where the natural turf kind of turned into an auditorium. So like he didn't need a microphone like this, and thousands of people could hear him. But I'd imagine he was still having to project a little bit. Like, if this microphone goes out, I'm going to have to yell just so that you in the back can hear. Because I want you to hear, right? And so he's been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been with the people, and so he goes to the other side, or so they think. And as they're leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, and there's other boats with them, so they kind of have this little caravan. It's not everybody, but it's some group of people. And then look at 37, and a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. So before we even get to Jesus asleep, like, you can already paint this picture in your mind, right? Like, everybody else is awake. Everybody else is starting to get, like, is that safe to say? Probably a little nervous. You're seeing not only, like, man, the waves are picking up, but I'm seeing water come in the boat. That's a problem, right? Water's supposed to be outside the boat. We got water coming in the boat. That's a problem. Storms will come. This is for everyone, everybody in here, everybody listening. Storms will come. There were other boats on the water following Jesus. Storm got them. There were disciples in the boat. Storm got them. 11 of them loved Jesus and followed him faithfully. One of them betrayed him. Guess what? They all experienced the storm. For you, like, do you worry about that sometimes? Like, maybe do you overthink this of, like, if anything bad happens, you're like, all right, I gotta fix something, right? Like, you people know who I'm talking to. That's kind of how I am. It's like, man, I hit too many red lights on the way to work. Like, I probably did something wrong, right? And you're like overthinking this. Let me just be the first one to break this news to you that storms will come. When they come, what do we do? How do we respond to that? But this is for everyone. James 1, verse 3 says this, "For you know that the testing of your faith," what does that say? The testing of your faith. What does it do? It produces steadfastness. It produces a strength that comes that you wouldn't have otherwise. Testing of your faith. That's a storm. That's a trial. That's a difficulty. That's something that you don't wake up in the morning and that you hope for, but it comes anyway. How do you respond to that? I mean, think about it in your own life. What do storms do? What do problems do? What does testing do to you? Storms will test our faith. More than that, they'll reveal our faith. Have you noticed that? Those of you that are maybe experienced Christians, you've tried at times in your life to keep a face. And like, you can do the church thing. Like, you come to church on Sunday morning, you come on Tuesday night, and you're like, everything's great. And you're like, please no one ask me any further questions than this, right? You're like, I am going through it right now, and you're trying to keep it together, right? And maybe that test, maybe that storm just keeps on coming. And what will it eventually do? Eventually, you run out of juice. You run out of strength. You run out of ability. And what does it do? It reveals your faith. It reveals not only your faith, but it reveals the object of your faith. What are you putting your hope, your faith, your trust, your life in? Is it Jesus or is it anything else? Think about that. When the storm comes, it's going to show what's there. It's going to reveal what's there. Storms come for all of us. What do you do in response to it? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must also believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him, that look for him, that desire him. So in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the storm, the water's coming over the edge of the boat and you're starting to go down. This is not getting better on its own. You can kind of mentally imagine, like, they probably got a bucket and they're just scooping water out and they're like, we cannot do this fast enough. What does it say? And he rewards those who seek him. How do we respond to the storm? This is what I would tell you. The second point for you to write down tonight is this. Jesus is with us even in the storm. Even in the storm. Some of y'all might have walked in here tonight halfway through the summer and you're going through it right now and you're like, Jesus has washed his hands of me and has abandoned me and wants nothing to do with me because I'm going through a difficult time. And let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, sister, nothing could be further from the truth. He is there. He is near. Let me tell you a story. Is that cool? Can I tell you a story? I told you, I think in stories. Let me just share this with you. I've told you before, I grew up in Beaumont. I grew up on the coast. We got to go fishing a good bit in salt water. It was great because you don't have to be skilled at all. You just put a large piece of meat on a hook and you just hold on. It's a great time. I am not skilled at hardly anything. I'm definitely not skilled at fishing. So this was my kind of thing. And one day we got brave and we decided to go offshore. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you can't see the land. And we go out there, and y'all know we're in Texas, right? There's a lot of A&M people around here. Y'all know oil rigs. Like, they drill down, they get oil. Well, there's all these oil rigs out in the middle of the ocean. And we're like, buy one, and wouldn't you know, a storm kicks up. And we're not in, like, the Titanic or anything. We're not in a cruise ship. We're in, like, a normal boat that you would think of when you think of a boat. And there's, like, five of us, and this storm kicks up. And it's bad. I mean, it's like gnarly. Like, have you seen, like, today was okay, right? There were some clouds, you got a little bit of rain, and it was like over before you got into it. Have you seen one before where, like, you look to the left and it's sunshine, and you look to the right and it is like pitch black, and you're like, oh, this is not good. It was one of those, okay? And it comes, and there's like four or five other boats fishing around this oil rig, and we all start going, I think this could be a problem. And so we all start getting under the oil rig because what you do is you don't want to get struck by lightning, so you get under the tallest thing around you. That's the oil rig. And there's like these really big boats. There's us, like a normal boat. And then there is like a boat that's from me to not even me to you, and both of us would be crammed if we're in the boat. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this is a glorified kayak. Are we tracking here? And this storm's kicking up, and the waves keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's like two or three guys on this boat, and you know what happens? They start getting water in the boat. And you can like see from where we are, like their eyes are like this big around. I mean, they are freaking out. And they grab these 5-gallon buckets. I'm going to use my water cup. And they are scooping water as fast as they can. And what I saw was these real, real big boats that knew what they were doing and were ready for the storm. But what do? They start coming closer to this tiny boat. And they say, if the boat starts to go down, jump out. And we'll catch you. Jump out and we'll get you. Jump out and we will save you from this circumstance that you're in, because guess what? You're not enough on your own. You got out here, you weren't ready for what was going to happen. The boat could go down, we'll be there for you. Guys, if you're a note taker, if you're a person that wants to take this home with you, write this down. Jesus is with us even in the storm. And let me tell you, he's way better than any boat. He's way better than any life vest. He's way better than anything that we could muster up on our own to save us from the storms of life. And what we see in verse 38 is that Jesus is not only near, he's right next to him. And they're starting to panic, and they're starting to worry. But what does it say? Verse 38, but he was in the stern. That's like the back of the vessel that they're in. He's asleep on the cushion. He found like the one spot that's not like straight up wood. He kind of like, you can see him, right? He's just kind of like leaned over on it. It's probably not comfortable at all, but it's better than standing up. And it says he was asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Like, hey, dude, we're about to die. We, all of us, you're in this boat too. Can you wake up and do something? Can you help? Reminder here, Jesus was physically exhausted. I don't know if you know this, but when Jesus picked the disciples, he picked a lot of guys that were fishermen. You know what that means? That they would have known what like a normal storm was, and they would have known like a, oh my goodness, the boat's going to go down storm. They're not panicking for no good reason. Like, I don't know where you work, but like, he's not, like, the disciples weren't working at Applebee's and they were like, oh no, like it rained a little bit. They were going, this is bad. And so that's the like level of alert that they're at of like, this could be the end of everything that we know. And so they go to Jesus. They go to the guy that has been teaching them. They go to the guy that's been performing miracles and they say, do you not care about us? Do you not see what's going on? Do you not see that we need you right now? In Matthew 8:25, it's the same passage, just a different author, a little bit different perspective. In Mark, it says, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? In Matthew 8:25, it said, and they went and woke him saying, save us, Lord, we're perishing. Do you not care? Can you save us? Can you be with us right now? These physical circumstances, these external circumstances cause them to spiritually doubt, to internally doubt what Jesus could do. Let me ask you this tonight. This is just for you. This isn't an elbow your neighbor. Do you feel like God is distant in your life right now? Do you feel like God's far from you? Do you feel like you're going through it? You're in the storm, the boat's going down, and you're all by yourself. Do you feel like God is far from you? Let me tell you this, that Jesus is near. And let me encourage you in this, brother, sister. Let me remind you of this. The things that worry you, don't worry Jesus, because he knows how everything works out in the end. And what we see in this passage and so often in Scripture, and what I hope you're starting to see in your life, is that so often God will let us come to the end of ourselves. Can I get an amen? He lets us come to the end of ourselves so that we look to him. Because until this point, the disciples were probably like, ah, we got it. We can navigate this. We've been through this before. I can handle it. And it finally comes to the point they're like, we're done. This is it. This is our last ditch effort. We'll go to Jesus now. John 16:33 says this, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Jesus talking. In the world, you will have tribulation. There's another promise. You will have tribulation. You will have trial. You will have storms. You will have testing. But take heart. Jesus says this, I have overcome the world. There is nothing, no circumstance, no storm that Jesus is not bigger than. There is nothing that you will go through that Jesus is not near to you in the midst of. But my question is, are you going to him or are you trying to handle it on your own? How do you do things? Do you do what 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you? Or are you like, nah, I got this? One's a biblical command. One's a promise that he will not only handle it, but that he will care for you in the midst of it. And the other is you and your pride and your stubbornness trying to fix things on your own. Jesus is with us even in the storm. And here's my last question, my last major point for you tonight. And I want you to not only write this down in your journal that you brought, in your phone that I know you have with you. I want you to write this like on your forehead. I want you to put this, write this on your hand. Write this where you'll see it tonight. Are your concerns on the storm or on the Savior? What is your focus right now? If you're in the middle of it, are you just looking at the storm? Are you just going, this is bad? Are you going to the one place where you know there's hope? One place where you know there's peace? One place where you know there's salvation for you outside of what you could ever provide on your own? Verse 39 through 41 says this, and he awoke. And what happens? Jesus starts to move. And he rebukes the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And what happens? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Can you see this? It goes from waves that are taller than the boat, water's coming in, people are freaking out, everything is chaos to peace. And what does Jesus say to them? Why are you so afraid? Is that for you tonight? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? These are the people that have been around Jesus more than anybody. He's explained to them what he's saying. He's like, you know those parables I gave to everybody out there? This is what it means. I'm trying to teach you this. I want you to know this. They've seen him heal people, save people, perform the impossible, perform miracles, and he looks at them and says, have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So friend, what are you afraid of tonight? What is it that you walked in here holding on to? What is it that you're so concerned about, so obsessed with, so overwhelmed by, that you're still not giving it to Jesus? That you've been trying to fix it on your own. You've been trying to say, I'm enough to handle this problem. And maybe Jesus in his grace and in his love for you tonight has said, hey, you about to the end of your rope? You about done trying to fix things on your own? Have you seen that you're not enough yet? And he's looking at you with love in his heart, with compassion on your life, saying, I'm enough, let me in. Let me save you from something that you never could. Jesus shows his command, his power over nature to the same people that he's been explaining everything to. He's shown them his power, his wisdom, his love, and still they doubt him. The disciples get so wrapped up in their circumstances that they forget the might of their Messiah. Is that you? That you're so close to the problems in your life that you've forgotten how good Jesus is. That you've forgotten how strong your Savior is. I mean, the disciples, let's just be like honest, just me and you talking as friends here, that the disciples were kind of scared of everything. Because they're scared of the storm, and we can get that, right? Like, I would probably be scared. I know there's some of you that are in here, you're like, I've watched Deadliest Catch since I was a child. I would not be scared. No, you wouldn't, okay? You'd be just as scared as they were. But they're scared of that. And then Jesus, what? He calms the storm. There's a peace that comes. It gets still. And then what do the disciples do? They go, oh my goodness, who's this guy? Now they're scared of him. I read something this week that said first they were afraid of the sudden wind and now they're afraid because there suddenly was no wind. But these were different types of fear. One was a worry, an anxiety that many of you are experiencing right now. That's out of control, that's unhealthy. And the storm that you're going through has gotten you so wrapped up in it that you're not seeing clearly. But when the disciples fall in awe in fear of Jesus. It's a reverence. It's a healthy thing, as in, like, there is nothing greater than this. There is nothing better than this. Man, who is that? That he can command the wind and the waves to be still. Charles Spurgeon said that Jesus spoke to the men first, for they were the most difficult to deal with. The wind and the sea could be rebuked afterwards. And so he gets to the wind and the sea. Man, is that you? That Jesus is trying to talk to you. That he's trying to get a hold of you. He'll deal with the problems in your life later, but does he have your attention? Does he have your focus? Does he have your love and affection? Or are you just trying to get him to fix things without him being over your whole life? The word that he uses to still the wind and the waves, get this, it's the same word that he used to silence the demons. I mean, our God has control over everything. There is nothing that's bigger than him, nothing that's stronger than him, nothing that's greater than him. And he's calling for me and you to call on him. Are you in awe of the weather? Or are you in awe of the way, the truth, and the life? Are you worried about the stuff in your life? Or are you concerned about your relationship with Jesus? In the Old Testament, before Jesus even starts his earthly ministry, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Later on in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want to know how to navigate the things in life? What's your worry? Circumstances or your Savior? That's my question for you tonight. The source of peace, Jesus, God in the flesh, he models here for us peace that we can display. 2 Thessalonians 3 says this, now may the God of peace, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you. Are you spending your life worrying about everything that's out of your control, or do you spend your life worshiping the God that is over everything? What are you doing? How do you spend your time? What are you focused on? Here's how I want to close, and we're going to continue in worship. This is just for you. As the band comes up, let me assure you of this. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been made new by the blood of Jesus on the cross, if you've believed in the gospel, if you've confessed and repented, if you've become a made new believer, if that's you tonight, hear me say this. Man, God's promises never fail. Storms don't stop God's promises. When you're in the midst of it, he doesn't stop being God Almighty. You're going to go through storms. We must go through storms in life. This is inevitable. The question for all of us tonight is this. Is Jesus in your boat? Are you trying to fix things on your own? Is Jesus in your boat? Are you just trying to fix things on your own? Are you at a place where you're finally ready to say, I am not enough? I can't fix this, to be honest. I'm the reason I'm in this mess. Maybe God loves you so much that he sent a storm your way. He allowed something to come into your life that would bring you to the end of yourself. Many of you that are believers in this room, you can talk about a day in your life where you came to the end of yourself. And you said, I have nothing else to do but to surrender to you, Jesus, because I need you. I'm done.